Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. What a great start of the week, man. I am having a fantastic day. The weather is beautiful here in South Florida. We've got a nice, we're in what they call a cold front here, which means, mid to high 70s, and there is some nice cool breezes coming in off the ocean, so it's not bad. I am very excited for our guest today. We've got he's a fantastic songwriter and singer-songwriter, I should say. And man, I hope he didn't listen to one of last week's episodes, because he's a graduate of the Berklee College of Music, and we were talking about that, and our guest Brianna last week might have insinuated that they don't party as much as the Musicians Institute out in LA. But they are very serious, I will say that. So let's see. Let's see if Chris Lee here is, without further ado, a serious fellow indeed. Chris Lee, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
Yep. I'm doing great. Doing great. Teasing you a little bit about the Berklee College of Music there. I went to college a million years ago. You probably weren't born yet. There's a very good chance of that. And lived in Dorchester, rode the red line, had a few friends that went to Berklee College of Music. And I had mentioned last week on one of the episodes that, I was in art school, so all of us weirdos were always trying to, do weird stuff and go to weird parties and everything. The Berklee folks were very serious. They didn't go out a lot, They were knuckled down studying people. And very good at what they did. Has anything changed?
I think that carried. The trend seemed to carry. I don't know. It's funny because in LA, you trip over Berklee people pretty much, especially in the industry. Some of the, even Devin, who I wrote this song Flight Risk with, is a Berklee grad as well. We didn't meet there. But it definitely was a very, very buckle down and do the work. It was partly because, honestly, because music credit classes are so low, we ended up all getting totally overloaded with work. Like, I had 11 classes one semester. So if you weren't, fell apart, it was kind of necessary with the workload.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, it's interesting. You see, I the kids of friends I have now, they're all getting to that age where they're looking at schools and stuff. And I can take 15 hours. No problem. I'm like, oh, really? Molecular biology, huh? You're signing up for that.
Yep.
I don't think you understand. But
No, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what second semester's for. Oh my God, the mistakes I made.
Yep.
I want to take that bowling class now. I'm having flashbacks.
Not bad.
Let me ask
too,
you this. Now, I know you're out in LA now. Whereabouts did you grow up at? Which neck of the woods were you when you were like a little kid and stuff?
I grew up in North Jersey, a very small town in North Jersey called Essex Fells. It was about 30 or 40 minutes outside of New York City. I grew up there and working in studios from a pretty young age in New Jersey and New York, and just kind of falling in love with that process there, which led me to Berklee, obviously. Definitely not a California native. I just kind of fell in love with it out here, especially – I don't need to explain too much why it was a beautiful state, but it's also, so when people were like, it's really good for your career, I was like, well, twist my arm. I'll head out to California. So,
yeah,
So,
I'll tell you,
yeah,
Chris Lee,
from New Jersey.
When I got out of college, I wanted something totally different than Boston. I'm like, I don't want to shovel my parking spot and put a chair in it. I need the exact opposite. So I moved to I moved to San Diego, you know, because
right.
you can't get any further than that. And, you know, I went until the land ran out, which means I was in L.A. every weekend because San Diego's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Don't send me emails, people. I understand. But it's, at least when I was there, L.A. is a little more exciting. And for work and whatnot, I'm not in the music business, but I'm in the art world. And it just more stuff seems to be happening in L.A., you know.
Sure.
I had to eat. So that's where I wound up. But I get you, man. I'll never forget it. I got off the plane. And something had happened to that arm thing, that tunnel thing that they connect to the plane to get you into the airport, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't working or something. And so they did it old school, and they rolled out one of those rolling stairways, you know, like old movie, mm-hmm. you see in old movies. And, you know, I come out the door, and that Southern California, you know, the ocean hits me, and I'm just like,
yep.
Oh, yeah, this is... I'm home, baby.
Yep, I
Which
know. It's very
I went
hard
for
10
years,
away from
you know. That. Oh, no, man, especially about February. Woo, baby.
But now you got Florida. That's nice.
Yeah, I didn't plan on Florida. I had never really thought about Florida. I came to visit a friend of mine, and, you know, I went out and met a girl, and, oh, here I am. You know how it goes.
Yeah,
that was another 10 years ago. Jeez. No, but it's pretty. But I gotta be by the ocean, man. I don't know what it is. You know, I grew up in Metro Detroit. It was a big lake, but there wasn't any ocean. I like living. I like living by the ocean.
Yeah, it's nice to have as an access. The access.
Yeah.
To it. Really clears your brain a little bit.
Absolutely. And I've lived other places. I lived in Denver, and, you know, it's nice and everything. Don't get me wrong. I love the mountains. It's nice to visit. I just, you know, one of those towns I went to for a weekend, wound up staying a year, and, you know. But I like being out on the coast. I like that. And let me ask you this. When you were a kid now you were saying you started working in studios and whatnot. At a young age. So you always knew, I mean, music was kind of what you were going to be doing, right?
To some degree. I mean, I knew it was always going to be a part of my life. I always had aspirations to perform and write songs and have them, you know, that be my career in some way. There was a brief moment in high school where I thought about going to college for psychology at Boston College.
Really?
And that was before. Yeah, I love psychology, and honestly, the reason I landed on music and music production was I was interning at a studio in New Jersey, and I remember I was in a session, and I was just an intern at the time, and I was like noodling in the back on guitar or whatever. And the owner of the studio like took me outside and just screamed his head off at me about me playing in a session. And I remember one of the other interns, my friend Seth at the time, was playing in the session too. And I was like, why is Seth able to play in the session? Like, whatever. He's like, well, he got into Berkeley. When you get into Berkeley, you can play in such, like, he just reamed me. And I was like, wait, what's he talking about? And I asked Seth what he was talking about. And he was like, oh yeah, I got into the music production course at Berkeley. And I was like, wait, that's a thing? I didn't know you could do that. And he was like, yeah. And showed me the information. And the more I thought about it, music production and songwriting kind of took the things I loved about therapy and that relationship like a somebody who's a psychologist kind of helping you kind of go through your life and your story. And I felt like music production and songwriting was kind of a perfect blend of everything I loved. It involved technology, which I've always been a big fan of, computers, things like that, and just how things work in that sense. I love kind of therapy and just getting to deeper topics and talking about real things with people. And then I loved music. So
right.
It seemed like even though psychology was an amazing thing, I felt like I could kind of still do that, but through the lens of art and music production, which I've been fortunate enough to be doing now, you know, pretty much since then, kind of as full time as I possibly can, you know, with jobs here and there during Berkeley and college and stuff like that. But I really try to bring that lens in when I'm writing for other artists or myself, is just like going a layer deeper than I think a lot of pop music today goes. I think some of it can be kind of surface, and I always aim to try to go a touch deeper. And I think that that's where the magic really lies, is, and that's the most human connection you can get, is when people are as honest as they can be on records.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's fascinating. Like I said, I'm not in the music business, but man, I tell you, growing up where I grew up, and at the time, every one of my friends was in a band, it seemed like. And they all played guitar, which, you know, when they tried to form a band, was horrible. I'm like, somebody needs to figure out some other instruments. You can't have 12 guitar players, you know. we gotta figure something out here, guys. They did, but... and then when I moved to California, a lot of my friends, the people I met and whatnot, were in the movie and TV business. A lot of musicians still, though, in California. A lot of music, but it seemed like it was a little more mixed and whatnot. But it fascinates me, the whole concept of, like, I've been, during the quarantine, I've been watching all these YouTube. There's a fantastic YouTube, I guess, series. I don't know what you call it. Maybe a show. They're like half hour long, 20 minutes. Called Produce Like a Pro, and again, not anything that I do for a living or do it at all, but I just find it fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
I had no idea all the stuff behind the scenes that goes into when you, like, make a hit song, or, you know, a song in general, you know?
It's crazy, man. It's a lot of things nobody would ever think about. I mean, really, what you're doing in so many ways is you're playing with psychoacoustics, and you're creating depth of field, and you're creating an experience and a landscape for people that is in a lot of ways tricking their brain into thinking they're somewhere that they're not. That's a huge part of it. Because when you record, like, a dry audio signal into a computer, it doesn't sound like what the final result is. There's a lot of, you know, technological manipulation that goes on. And I don't use those words in a negative way. It's just, you know, the way that we kind of create surround sound for a movie, and there's something behind you. It's not really behind you. Somebody's picking where that's located and adding depth and using effects and things like that to give you the illusion of maybe a concert or whatever. So there's a lot of, like, nitpicky details. I always laugh younger because people would be like, I want to come to the studio with you. And I'd be like, no, you don't. It's like, I mean, you do. It's a nice energy, and, like, you can get involved in the creative process, and it's super fun in some ways. But it's also very nitpicky and very heady, and, like, you have to try things and listen to short periods of audio for long periods of time, and, like, really, you know, work out the details, which, as you get, you know, more years under your belt, you can do quicker and quicker, but it's still a painstaking operation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's how it is with so many things, you know, people that, and I'm not trying to piss on anybody's dream or anything like that. You know, hey, if you're into something, find out as much as you can about it, you know, get into it. You know, you might, believe me, you know, when I was 12 years old, I thought archaeology was where I wanted to go. read some books. I said, no, it's a lot of, I don't think I want to do that.
a lot of brushing dirt involved.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't my idea of a good time. It certainly was a lot dirtier than Indiana Jones, you know? But seriously, and here's, you know, you put the time in, you know what I mean? You learn how to do it, and you do it consistently, even on days, I'm sure, where you don't want to do it, you know?
You
got to work.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Yeah, showing
That's
up
the big
is half
secret.
The battle. Maybe more than half the battle. Just doing it and staying involved. And, you know, I mean, I think like so many different art mediums, the world has kind of shifted away in some ways of valuing it enough. So you kind of have to be really passionate about it to stick with it, because there are ups and downs, like with everything else. But I think specifically in the art world, where it takes a ton of time to get good at something in the art world, whether it's an instrument or it's mixing or it's production, you know, and that's the thing. A lot of artists are trying to do everything themselves. They have to learn, like, you know, what used to be 8 people's jobs. You know, you'd have a mix engineer,
right.
You'd have a producer, you'd have a vocalist, you'd have a guitar player, you'd have a bassist. Everybody's more specialized at a point, and everybody put time into that degree on their specific thing, and they came together. And now I think more and more independent artists are being left to do a lot of that themselves. And this goes for graphic artists and everything. They have to learn how to create the website and learn how to market mm-hmm. and learn all the things in hopes of kind of getting above the noise, which in some
Absolutely.
Ways is hard, but in some ways makes really talented people because they've had to learn so many things. But it's tough. You got to stick in it. And even on the days that don't feel as fun, and you're kind of bashing your head against the wall trying to figure out one line, you just got to show up and keep doing it.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you the weird part where you really notice when you have it, at least for me, my wife likes to go. We live in South Florida, so, you know, and she's from here. She worships at the Temple of Disney. Before the world stopped, we would go up to Disney World, you know, every couple, 3 months, something like that. You know, once a quarter, take a few days, go stay at a resort, you know. And, you know, she loves it. We have a great time when we do it. But what happens usually, if I go for more than a couple days, I'll come back and I'll try to paint, and it ain't that great. It takes me – I'll usually paint something – and, you know, it's funny, the public don't ever know this. I can look at a painting and say, oh, I was getting my muscle memory back there. You know what I mean?
Right.
After a painting or two, you know, I'm just painting like Neo dodges bullets in the Matrix. You know, I'm into it.
Right.
But, you know, it takes a little time if you go away from your art for a minute. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But somebody like, you know, here's as an independent musician that's making cool music, you know, and doing this for a living and everything, you're professional doing this. You mentioned wearing different hats, and you definitely have to. I mean, here you are, you know, you do promotion, you do not only just making the song, which is an encyclopedia of behind the scenes stuff that nobody has any idea about, that just listens
right.
to it on the radio or whatever. So you do all that, and then it's promotion and approving this or that, or, you know, images, all graphics, all that kind of stuff. I mean, at the lot, you know, I think people still have that mythology in music where they think, oh, you know, the studio, oh, some big studio will sign me, and then they'll just have people do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of isn't the way it works anymore.
does happen, but there are some serious, you know, costs to that aren't seen as well. And, you know, that's something that I owe Berkeley in a lot of ways for saving me from some pretty god-awful contracts and things like that. And there's a lot of, you know, even with things like Disney and all these places, they sign tons of people, and not all those people get that shot. A lot of people, you know, get put to the side and end up getting kind of stuck in certain situations. So there are the instances where you sign to a major label and they kind of, you know, you're a priority for them and they do everything they can to get your stuff out. But there's a lot of people who end up just kind of sitting in contracts and kind of losing some of their good years of creative output. So, you know, there's trade-offs. It's not to say that there's not a right time and place to sign to a label or whatever. There's amazing things that can come of that when an artist can just be an artist. And it's part of why I started outsourcing some things like PR and some marketing to other people, because, you know, I've just been so busy with the actual creation of the art that you need to start to delegate in some way, in some fashion, build a team and get people on board. Whether you're signed or not, you still have to have that group of people who's going to bat for you. There's no way
absolutely
in hell you can do all of this on your own well. There is a way you can do it, but not well. And that's what I've learned. But, you know, I've spent, you know, I'm 28 now, and I've been doing this since I was production, that is. I've been playing music and writing music pretty much my whole life, but producing music and starting to, like, get the engineer hat on since I was, you know, 13 years old, and been at it pretty much every day with times off here or there, but pretty much every day for the last, you know, 15 years of my life. And just now am I getting to the place where I feel confident in some of these other hats. Because mixing is its own profession. Production is its own profession. Playing the guitar and singing is its own profession that requires thousands and thousands of hours to get good at. So, you know, I think what we're going to see probably over the next 10 years or so is artists who are independent kind of peaking later than the normal, like, child star, because, you know, a lot of these child stars, they don't have to do all of those other things, right? They can just show up and kind of be them and sing, and a lot of them aren't even writing, they're being written for, and they kind of have this machine army of, like, people who have been at it for 20 years creating the stuff around them and giving them the illusion of you know, that professional edge. It's not like they're coming in and producing hits at 18 years old or 17 years old. It takes some art, but it takes a long time to get to that point. So I think you're going to start seeing with like the rise of independent artists and social media and the ability to kind of promote on your own and without the machine kind of giving you the green light to go ahead. I think you're just going to start seeing artists kind of come out of the woodwork a little bit later than we're used to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting, you know, it's interesting and, you know, I don't know it. Everybody, I've said this so many times, you know, a lot of people, I'll meet people, young people, or people, I shouldn't say young people, people that want to get into the music business, you know, be doing what you're doing, because it's just so easy. No, I'm kidding, of course. But no, you know, you meet people, and I think a lot of people have watched too many of the competition shows, like, you know, The Voice or American Idol or whatever, and they kind of think, oh, well, that's just how, you know, you go win a competition. And, you know, it's interesting. The people that have had mainstream success after those shows, I think really you could count on maybe one hand, maybe two.
Yeah.
I know personally probably about eight people.
One.
Yeah. I know probably a ton of people. I'm thinking seven or eight people pop into my mind right now that went pretty far on those shows. You know, didn't win the whole thing, but they went pretty far, close. And they're struggling and hustling to, you know, before the pandemic and whatnot, to line up gigs, you know, and waiting tables and doing whatever they got to do, even with that boost. So it just goes to kind of show, you know, you still have to work. And I know I sound like an old man, you know, but I haven't found an easier way,
Work is the thing. Even with these people who are getting big on social media and stuff like that, because I know several friends who have like had some success on social media, and it can look easy, but it's very, very time consuming. You have to make it your job to do it, and there's no payment up front from that. You got to put it in and hope that you kind of win the lottery there, and that's what it's predicated on. No, I mean, the thing is, the illusion that's happened is the barrier to entry is lower, but that doesn't mean the barrier for success is lower. The barrier to entry to put music out online is way lower. You can kind of upload something right away. Does that mean that people are going to flock to it and listen immediately? No. In fact, the barrier, that threshold of success, I think, has actually gotten higher with more people entering the arena, because you have some people who – you have more talent entering the arena, of course, because more people can, and there's less limitations and geographic limitations and technological limitations, right? So you have more talent entering the pool, but then you also have more noise entering the pool of people who just got a mic quickly and put up kind of a crummy-sounding song, and there's millions of instances of that. So there's more noise, there's less signal – but there's more talented people also getting into the pool. So I would say that even though the barrier to entry has gotten lower, the actual threshold that you have to cross to be in the public eye and successful has gotten much higher.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's crazy in so many ways, but here, and I want our listeners, listen to what Chris Wee is saying, especially if you're, you know, wanting to get into this business and whatnot. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying that at all. I you know, hey, follow your dream, man. I'm the first person to tell people that. But be realistic about it, and be realistic on the time. And like you said, you've been doing this, man, 15 years. You realize you could have become a doctor twice in that amount of time, you know?
Of course.
A lot of work.
Yeah, you have to want to put in the work, because that's what it is. Because I remember even when I got to Berkeley – I realized very quickly that I wasn't going to be the best instrumentalist in the world, because I had friends there who were practicing 15 hours a day, like no joke, every day of the week. They would wake up, they'd get breakfast, they'd go into a rehearsal space, and they wouldn't come out for 15 hours. And then they would come out and you know, these people were insane. I was watching them do things on those instruments that I've, you know, never seen anybody do or even imagined that could be done. I remember a friend of mine at Berkeley, his name is Joe Cleveland, and he's a bass player. And now he's doing music director stuff for everybody in the industry, like every big artist. But that guy was putting in you know, 15, 20 hours a day on his instrument and constantly playing and, you know, never stop. And you have you realize at a certain point that, you know, and you don't need to get that good to necessarily have success, you know. Not all
right.
pop music or music out there requires, like, an astrophysics level of education on an instrument or something. But there is those people who are putting in those time and who care about it that much. And if you're not caring about at least one aspect or one discipline of yours that much, it's going to be tough to break through. You might have some luck and success, and people have that all over the place. It's kind of like a balance of, you know, preparation meets opportunity. But, you know, you have to be willing to work and put the time in, because it's not all glamorous. And a lot of the people we see that make it put in years and years of time and struggled through some really hard stuff to get there. And the reason I did it, it's not because I didn't want to go to school for psychology or I didn't see the value in getting a job that made more money every year, but I understand the value of art, and I understand that as a society we undervalue the benefits that we all receive from art. I remember kid, you know, parents in my town, I grew up in North Jersey, so there was a lot of people on Wall Street and bankers and people who loved what I did and they loved the music I made, but they were like, are you sure you want to dedicate your life to music? It's really hard to make a living. And I remember I dealt with that question so many times that one of the parents who asked me that, I just went, well, who do you want to make it? Who do you want? If you don't want me to make it, you think I'm good, you think I have a good lens on it, who do you want to make it? And I think that that's the question we need to ask society as a whole. Like, if this isn't a valuable career path, right? How do we make it valuable so that good people, good talent, smart people who have a good view on the world get into this stuff? Because at the end of the day, it's the stuff that's raising our kids. It's raising society. So many people start companies on the backs of art. You know, Apple was created, and Steve Jobs was a huge fan of Bob Dylan. And without Bob Dylan kind of putting his whole heart into what he did, you might not have Apple. You might not have these companies. You might not have, you know, the tech revolution from, you know, the hippie generation and all this stuff of music that was inspiring people to kind of come together. So that's kind of the question I've been asking for years, is like, if there's not these people who see the value in art and see the value in transmitting human stories via a canvas or, you know, via music or whatever, right. What are we going to be left with if we don't make this a path that people can succeed at and thrive in? What music is going to be influencing our kids and ourselves and our emotions? And I think we're starting to see some of the negative impacts of that even now, where things are becoming more homogenous and there's not people going deep, and, you know, in the art world outside of music too. And I think we really need to ask ourselves as a society, what do we want to be left being inspired by?
Absolutely. And I, you know, it reminds me, what you just said reminds me of a meme that was very, I saw it going around social media a little bit last year when the pandemic was in full swing, everybody was at home, you know, and nobody, you know, people were, you know, worried. They didn't know what the hell was going on. Nobody dealt with this. You know, and there was a lot of crazy stuff happening, you know, but I saw this meme and it said, you know, remember when all this is over that movies on your and music on your streaming sites, you know, books, art, you know, paintings, all of that kept you through this. You had that to rely on, you know, that was the constant when everything else was chaos. And, you know, there's some truth in that.
Absolutely.
I tell you, Chris Lee, when I went to Paris for the first time, I'd never been to France. This was, I don't know, 20-some years ago. And I had to go over there and give a lecture on pop art. And, you know, it was very exciting at the time and everything. But it was very, I tell you, culturally, it was interesting. You tell people you're at a dinner party there or you're out to eat, or some people ask, you know, what do you do? Oh, I do this. And they treat you like you're a doctor or something, you know. Here you tell people, oh, you know, I paint people. They're like, oh, God, hide the silverware, you know?
Right.
Let me move my daughter out of the room. You know, it was
right.
Well, very – it's exactly kind of what you're saying. Are you sure you want to focus on this? You know, I don't know. Accounting's much more secure Well, it depends.
Right.
You know, it depends.
Yep.
It's not nearly as fun, and the party's not as good.
They're definitely not. but it's so true, and I think it's like it's part of a broader issue of kind of measuring the success of a society strictly on GDP and one currency when there are multiple forms of currency that make the world move. And when you omit some of the fundamental ones like connection and art and, you know, other forms of intelligence besides mathematical intelligence and linguistic intelligence, you're left prioritizing a very small subset of things, and you end up like with a situation where like New York has become very corporate. I remember like when New York was
right.
very musical and like it was an epicenter, and now you're left with JP Morgan Chase's and kind of a lifeless society of people managing numbers and figures. And like, while that is important and economic prosperity is important, I'm not even saying it's not, the weight needs to be distributed, I think, outside of that. And I think the reason you have that experience in a place like France is because it's got such a deep, rich history of art, and they fundamentally
right.
understand that. Whereas the United States was kind of built on this very big machine of currency, and that has become prioritized, and the other stuff has kind of fallen by the wayside just by it not generating enough GDP to be prioritized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, speaking of the pandemic and whatnot, I was looking, man, we got in some heavy duty stuff. I joked with you earlier before we went on the air. I'm like, you know, my little joke, oh, we're going to talk about politics, you know. and here we are in this very deep conversation. I love it, though. Man, this is one of this could easily turn into one of those 3-hour Joe Rogan sessions. You know what I mean? I could talk about this all day, but I know we can't.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please, visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Your next single is Flight Risk. No, it's not out yet, but it's going to be soon, right?
It's out now. It's out.
Oh, it is out now. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're out and about.
Fantastic. Well, you hear that, folks? It's out. You can get this. We're going to play it here in a second, but I wanted to, to kind of lead into it, as I understand it, you kind of wrote this during the pandemic and whatnot, those trying times. Wow.
Yeah. It was around, September or end of August of 2020. And in LA, it was really intense.
You guys had it weird out
there. Yeah, it was intense. There was a lot of protests and there was a lot of, Trump was president and people were upset about that. And it was just very tense.
Right.
You could feel the tension in the air. There's a lot of what seemed like fireworks going off all the time. But at the moment you didn't feel super safe. I was worried. I felt like there was a part of me that needed to get out of LA and go somewhere else. And, you know, me and my girlfriend lived together and I was just worried about her safety and my own. This song kind of came as a result of that feeling. And the first kind of, it's funny because it feels overall, it's a very energetic song and you can be left feeling very positive, but there's also like some fear and anxiety that's embedded in that record. Really the first verse is more like anxiety and fearfulness and feeling like I needed to get away. And then the second verse is kind of leaning more into love and the people around you and leaning on that to get you through a hard time. So kind of it can connect with you in kind of whatever state you're in. I remember early on when we wrote it, it was connecting with me on more of, you know, the fear side of things when I wasn't feeling super stable out here and things were a little chaotic. And then once things started to clear up and that we started making progress and things started opening back up a little bit more, it took on more of a triumphant kind of feel, which is fun. You know, it's a fun record. It's upbeat, and you can get really into it. But I loved this song so much because it kind of straddled that line, I think, so well, and it really connected with me and my two co-writers who wrote it with me in a very deep way at the moment.
That's fantastic. Well, here it is, everybody. Without further ado, this is Flight Risk. Check this out.
Talking to the wall for an hour, maybe more. I've been asking for some answers, trying to understand it all. Where we're going,
where we're going.
I don't know yet.
I don't know yet.
Seems like you found your peace, judging by the way you sleep. I've been busy counting worries while you're busy counting sheep. I won't hold back. Plan where we're going.
What a track. What a track. I love it, Chris Lee. I love it.
Thanks, man.
Good track. I know, you know, we were talking, you were explaining, you know, the anxiety level of that going into it and whatnot. Man, I got to tell you, I mean, I get what you're saying and everything. That's such a nice track. That is my summer track of 2021. Of coming
good.
Out of
I'm
the
glad.
Tunnel, you know? Yeah,
good.
That's
I'm
a
glad.
Good track.
That's why we put it out. Like we felt like that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very, very cool. Let me ask you this. When you wrote this and everything, now it is out. Have you think there's going to be a video for it or what's your thoughts?
With everything with COVID, it's been very hard to shoot. It's been very hard to shoot some things with the pandemic and the way California has been going, but hopefully we can get something soon. You know, I had for the next single I'm putting out, we shot a video. We're partnering with a company to promote mental health
nice.
Charity and stuff like that. So we were able to fit that one in after reworking the actual treatment so many times because we had to keep stopping earlier in the year. In 2020, the fires were getting crazy in LA. We had a day scheduled and went outside and the sky was black and we were like, well, we're not filming today.
Gosh.
So it's just been up and down, but I would love to shoot something for this. So hopefully, you know, we'll be able to do that in the next month or so as things open up.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
When do you think that single, because I'm asking this selfishly because I want to hear more. I'm such a big fan of your work. When
Thank
do you think
you.
That single will be dropping? Next couple months?
Next couple months. I'm probably going to be dropping stuff, probably a single like every 6 to 8 weeks is kind of what I'd
nice.
Like to keep up. I've been kind of a perfectionist for long enough, and now it's time to let things go a little bit and put some stuff out in the world. And, you know, what I'm excited about right now is it's a wide range of different types of music. Like there's some more pop, some more ballad stuff, some more R&B, and just kind of me exploring like a lot of sides of my artistry. I grew up in tons of different types of studios and love all different types of music. So, you know, I'm just excited to get a lot more out there.
Now, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, we're as a fan, I'm excited to hear more. That's fantastic. I think that's, you know, 6 to 8 weeks is a good, that's a nice, it's not too long, so you don't fall off of people's scopes, you know.
Yep.
But then again, it's not lost, you know. Oh, well, you're putting so much out. Sometimes you got to wait a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But not too much. That's the thing. You got to find that balance. It's, and I think that's a good balance to find and whatnot. Very, very cool.
I appreciate
cool.
that.
Yeah, man. It's just a good strategy, I think, you know. I want to let people know, too, about your website, Chris Lee Music, and that's Lee with two E's. So let me spell it out for everybody. Everybody grab a pencil or pen, whatever you got, Sharpie, whatever you got. www.chrisleemusic. ChrisLeeMusic.com. And on there, we also have links to your social media, but you also on your website have links to all your social media as well.
Yeah, all the socials are on the website, but it's just Chris Lee Music across most platforms. And I would say kind of everybody,
nice.
I'm most active on Instagram. That's kind of where I put most of, you know, new updates, and you can kind of keep track of what I'm up to and what studio I'm in and all that stuff. I'm pretty active on there. As far as the other ones, I'm not as active. I feel like my brain can only focus on one at a time.
I'm telling you, my wife's that way. My wife has like all of them and everything, but she's only on Instagram. And, you know, I asked her, I said, well, what about Facebook? And she's like, well, quit being an old man, number one. And number two, she goes, I'm sick of seeing people, you know, all they do is like watching fail videos.
Yeah.
It's just people falling down. It gets old after about a day.
Like, yeah, I feel like there's an arc to all social medias where it starts out like really fun and cutting edge and then somehow leaks
right.
into political dystopia in like within 5 years.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've had this conversation with so many friends and whatnot, you know. oh, were there always all these crazies around and we just didn't know about it? I guess there were, you know, I don't know. Everybody's got a megaphone now. You know, and
we're all being information biased, and tons of stuff is entrenching us further in our beliefs and stuff like that, and we're not talking to people as much, and I think it's a
right.
combination of stuff, you know, and I think the most important thing we can do is to continue to connect with people, because that's the stuff that, I mean, we're all the same, you know, like at the core we're all the same type of person, and I think it's really important to remember that by being around people and making sure that we connect with people instead of kind of being so quick to judge each other for our beliefs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if somebody's, you know, got something to say, you don't have to agree with it or whatnot. Show them the respect of at least listening to what they got to say. You'd like it if somebody did that to you. You know,
absolutely.
Real simple. You know,
absolutely.
They might have a point. Who knows, you know? I don't know. It's a weird world. And, man, if you're getting worked up over, you know, the little five and dime store down here wanting you to wear a mask to go in, dude, you got a lot of free time on your hands. Put that to better use.
I know, right?
You know? It ain't that big a deal, man. Nobody's asking you to, you know, donate a kidney or something. Although, if you have one, maybe somebody needs it. No, kind of. Now I'm going to get an email from the kidney people. Quit joking about donating kidneys.
You
need as many as we can get.
You're going to have kidney lobby after you.
That's right, the kidney. The kidney lobby. Oh my! I bet there is one. Oh, my gosh. That's
unfortunately.
Cool. Well, Chris Lee, this is fantastic. You know, you're making music. We didn't even talk about, you know, I'm going to have you back on the show again because there's so much we skipped over the whole, you know, NBC Songland season 2 and all that, and you writing the winning Boys to Men song, Love Strike. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, it's been a wild year, man. But that's still out there if people want to watch it. It's on Hulu and all these other streaming services. Songland is a great show. I've had many people reach out and say they got really into it over the pandemic. There's 2 seasons out, and it's just a fun way of like getting to see how people write songs for bigger artists and what the process is like. And there's a lot of really talented people. Actually, one of the people I wrote Flight Risk with, Keegan Boss, he won the Julia Michaels episode of Songland, which was also a phenomenal episode. If people want to check his stuff out, he's a phenomenal artist and writer as well. So yeah, it's fun. I mean, if anybody's looking to see kind of how the songwriting process goes, it's up there in the internet world of things. You can check it out on Hulu and stuff like that. And mine's the Boys to Men episode in season 2, but there are tons of episodes that are really phenomenal, and it's a fun show.
That is so cool. And I think it's cool, too, that it brings attention to songwriting in general. I have a very good friend of mine in the country music world that and that's what she does. She writes. She's a songwriter. She doesn't go on tour. She doesn't have to wear uncomfortable shoes. You know, she does her thing from her very big house with a circle driveway. That's all I'm saying. If you do it right, you do all right with that, you know.
We'd all definitely like a nice circle driveway.
Well, exactly. There's less grass to mow, you know, for the gardener. Anyway. Chris Lee, I'm running out of time, man, but this has been so much fun. Keep doing what you're doing. You're super good at it, you know? Super good
Thank
at
you,
it.
Man. I
I'm
really
very
appreciate
inspired.
That.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And thank you for having me. And thank you for being willing to kind of go deep and talk about all these things. I think it's really important that we all go a little bit deeper than the surface comments online these days, especially with everything that's going on in the world. So I appreciate you having the ability to go there and being willing to.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. You're working. That's right. You're with Trend PR. How cool is that? They are like the best in the business, man. I really, really dig them. And you're working with Amanda over there and the gang.
They're
great. I'm going to be talking to her, and we'll be getting you back on here in a couple months when the next single drops. Very cool.
That'd be great, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And we'll go deep again.
Yeah.
Very
well.
Cool. Everybody, this episode will be converted to a podcast. It's going to be pushed on all the various social media platforms. You can listen to it however you want to, Spotify, Pandora, whatever. It's on them all. And it'll also be on all the social media platforms as well. So very, very cool. Check out our advertisers. They are also very cool. And use their codes. They all have a code when we add the commercials. You'll use code such and such, and you'll save some money and whatnot. And then you can go over and buy Chris Lee's latest single, White Breath. How about that? See, it all works out. It's the circle of life. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Very cool, everybody.
We will say hi on socials, too. If you guys want to say hi and shoot me a message, I'd love to chat with you.
There you go. How about that? See, there you go. There you go. Very cool. Well, we will see you next time, everybody. Have a good one. Keep your powder dry. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.